there are sugyas that are sugyas of the dar, sugyas of the generation. And Chazal, in a few areas, tell us what different generations have to work on. And last week we started the sugya of Ikvisa de Mashicha. We know the Chafetz Chaim already told us that from his time, we're already holding at the brink of Mashiach Tidkenu. It could be any moment now. We're in Ikvisa de Mashicha, at the heels of Mashiach. And during this time, there are going to be Nisyanis. We know all too well different types of Nisyanis, like we spoke about in Shavuvim. But there's also a Nisayan of Chutzpah. Of chutzpah. And last week, v'siyata d'shmaya, we tried to understand that chutzpah is not just opening your mouth to somebody who's older than you or your parents. Chutzpah is an entire way of seeing the world. In fact, when Chazal continue over here, they say that malchus tahapich l'minus, that malchus, kingdoms, will stop being religious. Not usually what I think of when it comes to chutzpah, but if you think about it, it's the ultimate chutzpah. In the olden days, kingdoms needed to represent something bigger. A kingdom, you couldn't just have a crown for nothing. You had to have some sort of avodah zarah, some sort of thing, right? You needed something above yourself. Chazal say that part of chutzpah today is we run our own country. We put people in office, we take people out of office, we do whatever we want. The malchus is laminus. The malchus is, I'm the king, everywhere. Ana emloich. The Zohar HaKadosh says that one of the worst things that could exist is somebody saying, I'm the king. Ana emloich. Ana emloich, I'm the king. And what would be the face of our generation, right? Maybe it's Coca-Cola. Maybe it's the Rangers. I don't know. For the Rangers fans, What is the face of our generation? Right? Advertising always needs a face. Every company needs a face. What's the face of our generation? It's not too flattering. It's not too flattering. Say Chazal, after they say chutzpah yazgeh, there's going to be chutzpah everywhere. Pnei hador ki pnei hakelev. Right? A dog is the face of the generation. Maybe a cute dog, Snoopy, somebody, right? A German shepherd. Right? What kind of Doberman, what kind of dog? I mean, imagine that's really painful. The face of our generation, right? I should retire. My whole job is to give people chizuk. And now I'm telling you the face of our generation is a dog, right? So what's going on over here? We have to understand. This is the key. Chazal have a way of encapsulating everything in just a few words. The dog is chutzpah. The Medrash says that the biggest mechutzuf in Shmois Rabbah, the biggest mechutzuf of all of the animal kingdom is the dog. The Gemara in Beitza and Chaf Beis says the most brazen, the oz Shebe Behemis, is the dog. In fact, the Goyin writes in his Perish on the Zohar, Kelev is Gematria Behema. The dog is Gematria Behema because it's the most animalistic of animalistic. It's the Behema's Behema. It's the ultimate behema. It's totally untamable. It's that behema. But where is the chutzpah of the dog? Where is the chutzpah of the dog? The dog, okay, I go on a nice walk with my daughters. It used to be that on my street you could tell how many secular people were there based on how many dogs were at the street. Right? As the communities become more frum, less dogs are around. But when I started out in Ramat Eshkol, dogs reigned. They were in control of everything. And I take my daughter for a walk, right? Enjoying myself. All of a sudden, out of the fence, I'm scared of these. What do you want from me? I'm walking with my daughter. I'm not bothering him. I'm not even going near him, right? A dog sees somebody, and all of a sudden, he encroaches on his space. He says, what are you doing in my world, right? I love, there's a new technology, not so new, but they shock the dogs. When the dogs go too far on the lawn, they try to get you, right? I love that. So, right? That I'm good with, right? But why does a dog care so much? A dog has no respect of other people's space. It says, this is my territory. You're in front of me? I'm barking at you because you're here. I'm barking at you because you're in my way. That's what a dog does. Kalbin chatzufin, right? You know that part of Shalosh Shudas, right? The kalbin chatzufin. Dogs are chutzpahdik. Why? Because they don't respect others. They take over. They're kind of like a guy in the hall who's right next to his friend and just breathes his e-cig all over him, right? They're like a guy who plays loud music in his room. All the music, right? I never understood these people. Why? I know you like your music, but like, it's impossible that the entire world needs to, yeah. Here I am. Boom. Everywhere. There's no fence for the dogs. No fence for the dogs. And they never back down. The Sefer HaChinuch writes something incredible. In Tav Kuf Ayin Hey, we know that you can barter anything for a carbon. You want to sell a pig to somebody and get a lamb instead and be makriv that in the Mizbeach, no problems. You're allowed. It's totally fine. There's only one thing you can't barter. One thing. This bothered me for years. You can't barter a dog. Right? Mechir Kelev. If you take a carbon, a cow, that you got in exchange for a dog, it's usser. It's usser. You're not allowed to be. It's psule mukdashin. It's usser to go on the Mizbeach. Zaklach Sefer HaChinuch. Do you know why? Because if you go with the carbon and think about a dog, you're not going to be willing to sacrifice for Hashem. Because dogs yield to no one. And if you even think about that dog, you look at that nice cow and go, ah, I remember Lassie, right? That was my last dog. Boom! You're not going to, I know, Hashem, I'm not sacrificing for you. And the Sefer HaChinuch writes that a dog is a stira to yielding. He barks. And this is the yisoid of chutzpah. Chutzpah is encroaching on other people's space, on other people's ideals. And there's a fascinating Karen Ira. The Gemara in Hurrius and Daf Yud Gimel says that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel was the Nasi, right? So what do you do when you stand, when you, a Nasi comes in? Everybody stands, right? So then someone who's lower than him, the Av Bezdin, what do you do when the Av Bezdin comes in? You also stand, right? What happens when a Chacham comes in? That was Rabbi Meir. What about when Rav Nassan comes in, who's a Chacham? You also stand. Comes Rav Shimon Eliel, who's the Nasi, and says, this is not right. I'm the Nasi and everybody standing for everyone the exact same way. And he made a new system of how to stand. You stand for me entirely, and for Rabbi Meir this way, for Rav Nassan that way. It caused a huge tumult. This was a big balagan. I'm not going to get into all the issues in the Gemara. Says the Karen Ira. He says, what's happening to Rav Shimon Gamliel? It brings a raya from Chazal and Baba Metziah. Rav Shimon Gamliel was a phenomenal onof. Of course he was. He was a Malach Hashem Tzavakas. What was his issue? And he explains in a very deep way. He says that all of the bracha that comes from Shamayim has to do with understanding levels in society, levels in Klal Yisrael. He says it's just like a body, that there's a head and then there's a heart. And there's a circulatory system. And if things were topsy-turvy, the body would never function. And Rav Shimon ben Gamliel understood that if Klal Yisrael doesn't understand, this is a Nasi, this is an Av Bezdin, this is a Chacham, then it would destroy the entire of Klal Yisrael. He brings, like we quoted from the Gemara in Chagiga, that Yishaya HaNavi said that on the 18th Klala, Yirhavu Anar Zakein, that the kids will mock Zakenim. When Yeshaya heard that, Niskara Daito, he said, if that's going to happen, Mashiach will come and everything will be fine because it's so bad that it can't get worse. When there's no understanding that this is someone greater than me, this is someone that's inaccessible, that's distant, then there's no purpose in all of history. What's the whole idea of history? Get from the earlier generation. So there's a beautiful continuum. From the beginning of time, Adam Arishan, all the way till here. You know why it's beautiful? Only because we're learning from the older ones. Only because we're getting from the earlier generations. That's why it's a story that has a beginning and an end. But if it's a free-for-all, if we're all the same, let's just stand up for everyone's great. No one's called greater. You're great. You're great. Wall Street. No. To understand the levels over here is to understand how I can gain from this one, how I can gain from this one. There's levels. Rav Noach Orlowick Shlita, a great mashgiach, who I've been zochet to be mashamish. If I ask him a question, he tells me, listen, why are you coming to me? You're a Talmud of Rav Naftali Kaplan. Says, I ask my shailos to Rav Naftali. He doesn't like when I come. Says, there's a pecking order in Klal Yisrael. You don't just come to me if you have access. He goes, where am I getting my things from? This is how it works. But someone who doesn't live this way with understandings of respect and levels is missing all of this bracha in their life. So this is the problem that we talked about last week, basically. And the question is, a person would just want to be like this little Edel Knadel now, right? And just be nice and respectful all of the time. And that's a big problem. And that's where I would like to start things, changing things around. B'siyata d'shmaya. There's something that they call in the world called pushing the envelope, right? I'm not sure where these things come from, these terms, right? There's an envelope, you push it, right? What are you pushing the envelope? So I picture, basically, there's an envelope that's very important, and you could hand it to someone, or you could push it, right? You could push it. You make more of an impact sometimes when you push it. Sometimes the guy, what are you pushing the envelope? Hand me the envelope. Stop pushing, right? But sometimes you have to push the envelope, right? Because otherwise, he might forget about the envelope. You whack him on the head with that envelope. He'll remember, right? They do it skillfully. But there's an idea of pushing the envelope. When a person wants to advance, if they just wait and gently hand that envelope to the person, things might not happen the way they're supposed to. And this is a yisoid gadol that I found in Rashi. It's worth millions of dollars. I've never heard this from anyone else other than myself, b'siyata d'shmaya, but it's Rashi's var. I'm just going to make it famous. That's my job, right? So this is from France, 1,000 years ago. Rashi says something incredible. There are 48 ways to be Kona Taira. 48 ways, right? One of those ways is to be Mishamesh Chachamim. If a person is Mishamesh Chachamim, right? A person either takes care of a Chacham or spends time with a Chacham, right? Shimush Chachamim. If you would ask me how to describe what Shimush Chachamim is, I would say it's to learn from a Chacham or to pour him a glass of water, pour him a Coke, whatever it is. Listen to what Rashi says. Is the Milo called having Shimush Chachamim? Shimush Chachamim. Shedoichik v'nichnas b'chol makom. He squeezes his way into every place. L'shmoya divreim u'l'shamshim. To hear their words and be mishamish them. Rashi says, Doichak v'nichnas. Doichak v'nichnas is like, he finds a way to get, you find this guy everywhere. You're like, how did he get there? How did he get there? How did he get, he's always in a place, you know, they're bouncers. He got through the bouncers. Right? He got through all the gabayim. He's that guy. He's just everywhere. Rashi says that the way to become Mishamesh Chachamim, and that's how you become wise, is to push the envelope. Is to be doichet v'nichnas b'chol makom. Is to squeeze your way in. That's the way. Yeah, I spoke to Rav Efrati. Rav Efrati is one of the great Talmidim of Rav Elyashiv. And once in a conversation with him, he told me, how did he start by Rav Elyashiv? You think, what credentials did he have? He's obviously a phenomenal Talmud Chacham, but there are a lot of other phenomenal Talmud Chacham who were not Zocha. How was he Zocha? He told me very simply. He said he would just stand next to Rav Elyashiv. Rav Elyashiv had no idea who he was. He'd just stand there all the time, right? And then he stood there so long, and then one time he asked Rav Elyashiv, could I just stay here? Rav Elyashiv didn't know who he was. It's like Rav Elyashiv said, okay. And he said, I'm sure he's regretted that okay thousands and thousands of times over. And he said, finally, after so much time, he said, what's your name? It's like, oh, nice to meet you, right? That's exactly what creates greatness. A chutzpah, barking, sticking your nose out of the fence, being in places that you shouldn't be necessarily. Oh, it's getting such hana, you know. Such hana, you know, a bacher asked me for a chavrusa. Bakr asked me for a chavrusa, and I said I had no time. Right? So Maisa Shahaya, I think from yesterday. I said, yeah, I said, I have no time. He said, yes, you do. Okay. Where do you have time? He says, well, Yoni Cohn is leaving. So you have a half hour. Thank you very much. I was so impressed. You got a chavrusa. Right? It's not, it's pashat chutzpah. It's pashat chutzpah. But that's the way we get things done. And Rav Volba says something. This is incredible. I don't know. I have a lot of questions on what happened over here. But Rav Volba got an anonymous letter. He got an anonymous letter. Rav Volba was from the great, great Mashgichim. Rav Volba got an anonymous letter from someone in the yeshiva complaining. What was the complaint? That there's so many people in Yeshivas Ber Yaakov who are in desperate need of a Mashgiach. And you, Mashgiach, are in your high place there in Mizrach, and there are lives that need to be saved everywhere. Where are you, Mashgiach? And signed anonymous. Rav Volba wrote back, which I was surprised. I always tell people not to be bothered by anonymous letters. Rav Volba wrote back. First of all, he called him a coward. He says, be a man and write your name on the letter. That was his first mussar. I always tell people, stay away from anonymous books. Why? Most anonymous books today are not because people are modest. It's because people don't want to be put in chayrim. So if nobody knows who they are, they don't have to take achrayas for all the garbage that they put in their books. Go check it out. And then if the book sells, you know what they can do? In 3 years, they could reveal themselves once it's a success. So there's no risk, right? If they get killed for their book, no one knows who they are. And if later, they could reveal themselves. Okay, think about it. Okay, I'm sure there are exceptions to these rules. Okay, I just want to get you thinking. Anyway, Rav Volba says the following. He says that people accuse me of not being available, and they end up saying that this is a yeshiva with such a nice mashgiach, and he's not involved in our lives and what's going on. And Rav Volba says the following. He says, you're making a terrible mistake. A yeshiva is not a place to be helped. A yeshiva is a place to train you for life. He says, have you ever seen somebody who has a stomach pain who expects a doctor to find him? Have you ever seen a rav going into houses going, you have a shayla on a chicken? You have a shayla on a chicken? You have a shayla on a chicken? Rav Volba said, we're here in yeshiva to become men. We're here in yeshiva to know how to deal with life. He says, if I were to go over to every person and help them, I would be doing them the worst disservice in their lives. They'd leave this place and they wouldn't be ready for anything. A person needs to know how to advance himself. Someone wrote me a beautiful letter after he left yeshiva that he's so quiet and that's why he didn't get to know me and v'chule. You know what I think when I read such a letter? What a tragedy. What a tragedy to be quiet. What a tragedy. Somebody wanted to have a connection 3 years in yeshiva, and the answer is I'm quiet? That's not an answer. The answer is get loud. Start barking. That's the chutzpah that Rashi is talking about over here. But there, it gets a little bit more intense in the Gemara in Brachos on Samach Beis. This is the Gemara in Brachos on Samach Beis, and we have to understand that this is not something that should be repeated, okay? I'm putting a Surgeon General's warning on this. Nobody is to repeat what goes on in this Gemara. But there's a Gemara with incredible chutzpah. The Baal Hafla brings that this is what's called real chutzpah, Azas Dikdusha. The Gemara itself refers to it, but the Hafla himself says that this has to do with real chutzpah. How do we know how to go to the bathroom properly, right? There are halachas, how a person wipes himself, how a person is in the bathroom. Amar Rabbi Akiva, pamachas nichnasti achar Rabbi Yeshua lebeis hakise. Okay? Rabbi Yeshua for sure did not know about this, but he wasn't alone in the beis hakise, right? There are certain places that are off bounds or out of bounds. Certain places, right, that only the dogs would bark into. And Rabbi Akiva records halachas that he saw in the bathroom. And Rav Kahana snuck under the bed of Rav to understand how a Yiddish home is run in an intimate way, Bein Ish L'Ishto. He stayed under the bed and he recorded for Klal Yisrael, some of the most important information, which is not for now, but some of the most important information that's given over from Rebbe to Talmud through the generations of how a home is supposed to look. And all of a sudden, Rav Kahana starts speaking under the bed, and Rav says, Kahana, is that you? What are you doing here? Right? Do not try this, okay? Do not try this. If you want to live through this experience, right? Kahana, is that you? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? He says, Rebbe, Torahi, v'lilmod ani tzarech. I have to know what to do. They were prepared to go into places, the incredible level of chutzpah over here, all to learn divrei Torah. Frek the Marsha! Why didn't they just ask the Rebbeim? Why didn't they just ask the Rebbeim, right? I was blown away by this question. It's such a basic question, right? It's like these kids who, like, you know, flip out very quickly. I'm going in there! Why don't you just ask Rebbe? Like, oh, right, yeah. That would be more practical, right? Why didn't you ask? Says the Marsha, he says they didn't even know what to ask. They were hidden quarters. So this was an area of mystery. Usually you can ask an intelligent question and get an answer. They didn't even know what to expect. And the Marsha takes apart how they were able to understand that Divrei Torah were going on in these places, but they had no idea what even to ask intelligently. They had to go where no man has gone before. The ultimate chutzpah. But this became a Gemara. This was what they were willing to do for Divrei Torah. Incredible. Incredible. And this is what Chazal mean in Avos Beis Vav. Lo habayshan lamad. Lo habayshan lamad. Say Chazal in Avos Perek Beis that somebody who's embarrassed won't learn. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Midas habayshas hi mida toiva. Modesty, a sense of humility, is a good mida. Bechol inyan levad belimud, except for in learning. In learning, you have to forward yourself. And he says, even if people make fun of you, even if a Talmud says, tipesh kamoni, I'm not smart. Eich eshel davar lifnei chacham gadol b'torah mepulpa b'chachma. How could I ask something to somebody who's great? Who am I? Says that's ridiculous. That's how all the gedolim became great. And I can tell you that my friends, there were people who in the beginning when they were learning, I didn't respect them in learning. I respected them as people, but not in learning. But they just kept hanging by the side of their rabbeim and asking question after question, and they rose to the top. They rose to the top because they pushed the envelope. They pushed it, had what's called Azus de Kedusha. So this is the first type of chutzpah that a person must have. A person has to know how to advance himself l'shem Hashem. Now I want to talk about a different type of Azus de Kedusha. Okay, this is a little bit heavier. And this is called taking a stand. Taking a stand. Sometimes a person really has to bark. Sometimes there are things that they see in their lives that they have to bark and they have to take a stand. And you could say that if a person's taking a stand on what's wrong, so he's being arrogant, right? It looks very arrogant. What are you, little schnuck? You little schnuck? You're going to tell me what to do, right? I remember. Maybe I'll tell you a few stories. I remember that when I was younger, right, it's not a secret that it took me a while to get to this place. I was in interesting places. One place that I was when I was probably, I was still a bachur. I was in a place that's not the best environment. And there was a class that I had to take called Intro to Bible. That already sounds pretty interesting, right? But the person who gave the course had a big payas and a long beard and, you know, v'chule. And I used to be very bored in the class because I really wanted to go to the Beis Medrash, but I came in and came out of the class. Sometimes I would give him a ramchal to support, like I would sit there, I'd be like, the ramchal says, ah, that's right. And then he would like mark it down so he could publish it as part of his whatever. You know, that's what these people do. They suck from their students all the information and then they publish in their names. That's what they do. Okay? So now it became his ramchal. Then one day he was saying something that made me feel a little funny. But I had a good reputation in the class. There was over 100 people in the class, easy. It was one of these big classes. And I raised my hand. He says, yes, Mr. Stark. I said, professor, or rabbi, whatever, I don't remember. Isn't this problematic? He says, what do you mean, Mr. Stark, problematic? I'm like, for all the people in this room who believe in the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikrim of Emuna. I got a letter grade lower, okay? My friend told me this was the greatest moment he ever had in that institution, was that moment. It was like, victory, right? What a terrible thing to do. You know how many doctorates that person has? You know, he's old enough to be my father. He's old enough to be my father. What are you doing? I'll tell you another story. Okay? I'm editing a lot of stories. I'm just telling you, like, another story. I was on the other side of Yerushalayim. And I was with my parents and my older brother. And we're outside of one of these shuls. And there's a man who's a famous Rav from America who came now to Eretz Yisrael. And he's schmoozing with our family. And he's saying, first he says he's a Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Seder Gomer. Okay, good Hakdama. And then he proceeds to say, you know, the Agudas Yisrael says that the problem with the world today is the internet. That's the big emergency. No, it isn't. I'm a Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein. I'll tell you what it is. It's Iran and intermarriage. Ooh, okay. I told him, I said, you know that Rav Moshe Feinstein, your Rebbe, is rolling over in his grave that you're his student? My brother loves a good fight. My father didn't know what to do with himself. What's wrong over here? This is crazy. This man's old enough to be my father. There's something very wrong. We have to try to understand. There could be something wrong, right? My Rebbe taught me, Rav Moshe Shapira Zatzal. He says, what's the word macha? The word macha, when you make a macha, the word macha is from the root michui, which is to turn something into liquid. Turn something into liquid. You take something that looks very, very, very sophisticated, and then you put it in the blender. That's called a macha. The goal of a macha is to neutralize the thing. Something that looks exciting, that's wrong, that's against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you know how to do a proper macha, then you can take that thing and turn it into liquid in front of everyone's eyes, that they should see what it is. And this is what the Pasuk in Divrei Hayom says, Vayigba Liboy Bidarchei Hashem. And remember this for the rest of your lives, because this is not a regular thing I'm giving over right now. This is something you have to carry with you. Vayigba Liboy Bidarchei Hashem. To become arrogant in the drachim of Hashem Yisbarach. Says the Malbim. The Malbim says, what does that mean to become arrogant in the ways of Hashem? He brings this in Tehillim Lamed Dalet. Bahashem tishalol nafshi. I will be mishalol in my nefesh through Hashem. Yishmu anovim v'yismachu. And modest people will hear and be happy. Frek the Malbim, whenever you come, what is this? Bahashem tisal nafshi. I'm showing off, right? What am I showing off? I'm showing off that I have a Hashem. Ani misparish yeshli av bashamayim. That's what I'm showing off. Oevosi loves me. Mashkiach alai takes care of me. That's my gaiva. It's vayigbo libo bedarchei Hashem. Where is my source of gaiva? That I'm on Hashem's team. That type of gaiva. Yishmu anovim, he says, anovim, modest people hate Bali Gaiva. But modest people, when they hear that type of Gaiva, they say, that's anova. Vayishmu yishmu anovim v'yismachu. They're like, that's our team. Vayigba liboy bedarche Hashem. Why is it that I don't care about how old the universe is or how the cosmos look, and where's the end of this, and where's the end of that? And why isn't it that I don't care about dinosaurs, all these things? Why don't I care about these things? Do you know why? First of all, I would never believe in someone who's so stupid as to say that this beautiful world is an explosion. This beautiful world. You know, imagine I call up my mother, right? I go, Mom, right, after a semester in college, Mom, 3 electrons collided and here you are. You are not really my mother. You're a collision of electrons, right? Boom! Talk to your mother that way. Happy Mother's Day, Mom! You crazy? Idiots. Tell me that a chocolate cake comes from an explosion, I'll tell you you're an idiot. But let's say they're very intelligent people, even though I hold their mama shaitim gmurim, shaitim, with all their doctorates and postdoctorates that I could use for toilet paper. But with that, let's assume they're very intelligent. How do I don't have a doctorate. Why don't I even care what they say? Why don't I care about any of these ridiculous fools? You know why? Because they are more intelligent than me. They are. They're more intelligent than me. But I never got my gaiva from my intelligence. I got it because I have a mesoira of the Rabbono Shalom who made these silly putty brains of these ridiculous professors. And I'll never even look at someone who entertains things that are so stupid because it's chutzpah to even look at such things. It's chutzpah to even care about such things. Ba'ashem yitalal nafshi, vayigba liboy bedarchei Hashem. We have a Torah that everybody should want. These people are playing in a sandbox. All of these people, they have a cute telescopes and they have cute microscopes, but I want you to know they're in the wrong sugya. It's like when a yeshiva's learning Yevamos, right? And by accident, 2 bachrim take out a brachas and someone tells them in the middle of winter's man that they're in the wrong masechta. That's what's going on in the world today. And we could shut this down. We could liquidate all of this stupidity. And I'll tell you something more. And I thought this was too shocking to say, but I found sources for this. Okay? I found sources for it. These dogs, right? These dogs that we've been talking about. The Medrash says in Shmois Rabba, Shloisha chatzufim heim, azei ponim, v'lo yizbayshu melasus ritzonim. Who's the chatzuf and the chayas? The caliph. Who's the most chutzpidik nation? Klal Yisrael. It seems like we're being compared to the dogs over here. Oh, sounds like an insult. Says the Medrash Vayter, Ata soiver shulignai. You think we're insulting Klal Yisrael that we're comparing them to a dog? Einu ela lishvach. O Yehudi otzalov. Throughout the generations, we've chosen to die before giving up HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Any single thing, any diktukal in halacha, any dirabanan, any minhag, anything against Yud Gimel Ikrim of the Rambam, we're prepared to give up our lives. We are so stubborn. We are as stubborn as that dog who just doesn't stop barking. So stubborn as the Sefer Achinuch's dog. And it's like, he can't bend. He can't bend. That's what Klal Yisrael is. And I was thinking that something astonishing, and I was afraid to say it. I'm going to say it because I think I have some sort of support for it. In this week's Parsha, we have 2 people. 2 great men. Yehoshua, where did he get his strength from? Right? His name was changed to Yehoshua. Right? Where did Kalev get his strength from? Obviously, he davened by the Avos. But I want to say it's his name too. It always bothered me that Kalev's name is Kalev, his dog. The pshat is that sometimes, Rabosai, a person can have the courage to go against everybody, be the ultimate mechutzef. And I want you to know, I saw a Tzidka Satzadik, and this is why I'm telling you this. The Tzidka Satzadik in Chaf Gimel says the gematria of Eliyahu. Eliyahu was Pinchas. He was the one who fought at Har Carmel. He was our fighter! The gematria of Eliyahu is Kelev, his dog. Right? That doesn't sound very nice. No, it's all about finding the chutzpah within. If we want to survive as a people, it's always been that we are uncompromising, that we shut everything down that's not the Bari Olam. And a dog has a phenomenal milah, which is a big kasha on all this. I really want to frag up everything that I'm saying right now. The Gemara in Horius and Daf Yud Gimel says, you know what a dog does? A dog is makir iskono. He's loyal to his owner. What? How could I give a whole drasha about how bad dogs are? And now he's man's best friend. You can't say that it's from the Goyim. It's a Gemara in Hurrius that he's man's best friend. Now I'm in trouble. In fact, the Ben Ish Chai decides to quote from all these books about great stories of dogs in secular history. Amazing Ben Ish Chai in Hurrius. He goes through different dogs of different kings who did tremendously heroic acts for their king. So now I'm in trouble. No. The pshat is that the dog, he knows when he's tofes who his kaina is. When he's tofes, who helps him? He'll be a mechutzef for that owner. He'll go ad hasof. The dog is the most loyal, and his biggest weapon is his bark. When he decides what's right, when he decides who's helping him, when he decides that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave him chayim, gave him all the things that are enjoyable in his life, and not explosions, he will die for all of that. Die, al pi kiddush Hashem. Because it's in his very fiber not to listen to anything other than the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikrim, other than people who are within our Messiah, because it's outside of wisdom. And last week we talked about chutzpah. And this week we're talking about chutzpah. Last week we talked about when not to be mechutzav. But we discuss now, but firstly we discussed making moves, pushing the envelope, getting into it. Don't get intimidated by chavrusas. Don't get intimidated by a Rebbe who might be an awesome figure. Push your way in. Push your way in. And also defend HaKadosh Baruch at all costs. Defend HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an unyielding fashion. Don't stop barking. And Be'ezus Hashem, this will be a tikkun of the chutzpah. It will be a revelation of why Hashem gave us this chutzpah. Avraham was an Ivri. I wasn't going to tell you this, but I'm deciding to tell you this. I try to filter some of the Divrei Torah, because if they're too mechudesh, I don't say them. I'm going to end off with something that's too mechudesh. So my chinuch here is I'm telling you this, but it's very mechudesh. Okay? Avraham was the Ivri, right? He was the one who stood against the world. And I want to say, and I'm not joking about it, it's just mechudesh. It says, Hashem birechis Avraham bakol. Hashem gave Avraham bakol. He gave him everything. He gave him kelev. Bakol is osios kelev. Hashem taught Avraham how to fight against an entire world. And he gave him the brachas of bakol. And we should all be zocha to bakol mikol kol.